believeth shall not make haste. He's not going to make a mistake. He that believeth and plants his edifice or his building on this cornerstone will not be devastated. Judgment also will I lay to the line. Now watch. And righteousness to the plummet. Anybody know what a brother? You know what a plummet is. Plummet's a string. You hold it and it, you put the weight on there. Man, it's straight. It's straight. He said, I'm going to lay it to the line. And hell shall sweep away the refuse of lies, and the water shall overflow the hiding places. So here God is proclaiming through this prophet Isaiah that there will come a day that I'm not going to take away the law. I am going to fulfill this law. I will be the stone. And so we look at, when you look at the New Testament, since the time of John the Baptist, the kingdom of God is what? Preached. Orator. Orator, he that hath an ear, let him hear. Are you staying with me tonight? He's getting away from the tablets of stone saying, here it is, brother, it's black and white. It's right. It's hear ye the word of the Lord. Yeah. And that, and it is the preached word of God that pricks your heart. And not the letter, but the spirit. And he said, through stammering lips and other tongue will I speak to this people. And when you looked, it first began on the day of Pentecost. They say, what meaneth this? Are these not all Galileans, and now they speak in a language which they did not know? He was speaking to them, yet they rejected him. This is what the prophet Isaiah was saying. It was stammering lips and another stone when I speak to these people, but they would not hear them. So they went over and fell backwards. And so when Jesus died on the cross, the veil, what kept me and you out, and only the priest could go in, not without blood, ripped. You might say it this way. When Christ said it was finished, he ripped. And when he ripped, the veil ripped. And it ripped open so wide that he said, let us now come boldly into the throne of grace to obtain mercy in the time of need, or help in the time of need. So now you and I have access to what only the priest, that's why we are a royal priesthood unto God. Oh my. So Jesus did not come to do away with the precepts and the laws. He came to fulfill it. We still preach precept still must be upon. He said it must be. And when you teach your children, I'll give you an example. When you teach your children, you tell them, don't touch that. It's hot. It will burn you and you will cry. You're still going to tell them. Because you know that's the law of touching a hot. That's the law of it. That's the precept of it. It's still you tell them, still you teach them. We still teach doctrine. We still teach precepts. I still teach these things. But Lord have mercy. If you got to touch it, go touch it, and you'll find out that what that precept said was right. You'll find out thou shalt not commit adultery. You'll find out thou shalt not. You'll find all these precepts to be true. And so once you get this thing in your heart, I don't have to teach that precept anymore. Once that kid touches that and you go, shh, they got it in their heart now. They got it in their heart now. They won't do that again. Well, sooner or later, it doesn't seem to work too well, but sooner or later, you ought to be able to talk to people that have been there and done that, and they say, look, don't do that. You ought to take that word right there. That ought to be enough. But somehow, we got to go learn our lessons. So we still teach these precepts. And the teaching of precepts will not go away as long as as there's a preacher on the earth. It's still what we preach is based upon precepts. It is a prerequisite to perfection. And in order for us as Christians to enjoy life beyond the precepts and the principles and the doctrines of these things, we must follow this pattern. We must follow this pattern that I gave you, those six things. Now, let's go back and look at these six things real quick. Hebrews 6 and 1. And I'm going to take them one at a time. He said, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine. He's talking about six things that are dead works and six things. He didn't say these are things you don't necessarily need to do, because at the end he says, this we shall do if God permit. In other words, if this is still what he wants us to do, that's what we're going to do. This is the early church. And so I'm going to show you these six things that he says is unto dead works. There's principles of doctrine. One is repentance. Repentance, number one. Repentance is a necessary principle. I tell people when I was talking to them upstairs, the kids, I said, you know, some of you may be ready to be baptized, but I'm telling you, I won't baptize you till you have repented. It's still necessary. Repentance is a dead work. Confession of your sins is about the deadness, getting rid of the dead works in your life. And repentance from dead works is the turning around from the things that work death in your life. You understand that? That's why it's a dead work, because everything that you need to repent of is something that works death. For the wages of sin is what? Death. Okay. And so repentance is one of these things that we need to get past. Not that we shouldn't, if we make mistakes, you still got to repent. But we should not have to live a repented life all the time. He said, let's go on. That is a foundational thing. That is the very foundation of the doctrine is repent. Repent. But let's build on that. Then faith toward God. Now I want to show you these six things are really Old Testament things, not New Testament things. Repentance goes back to the very beginning. Right? Because he's talking about this was actually the precepts. These six things are really the precepts, the principles and the doctrines that Christ fulfilled. Faith toward God is a fundamental principle that started in the Old Testament. You had to believe in God. You had to believe in Jehovah. Faith toward God. And we know that no man can come to God except the Spirit draw him. You first have to believe in God to get God. So that is a fundamental thing. It is a principle. Then the doctrines of baptisms. And when we mention that, you're going to say, oh, that's a New Testament thing. No, it's an Old Testament thing. It's an Old Testament thing. Baptism wasn't just in the New Testament. The Bible talks about the Israelites being baptized unto Moses and under the cloud and under the sea, meaning they were covered by that. They were covered by the commandments, baptized unto Moses. Then along comes John the Baptist, and guess what? He's got a baptism. I baptize unto repentance. There's one coming after me. He's got another baptism, and he'll baptize you unto the Holy Ghost and fire. Two baptisms, if you will. You're going to get both of them. So here we go with all these baptisms. Okay, we need to get past that. We need to understand the fundamentals of baptism so we don't keep, is it Father, Son, Holy Ghost? Is it Jesus? I'm going to tell you the answer. That's real easy. What did the apostles do? Because they had a doctrine. It's real simple. The apostles' doctrine, it talks about many times. He said, this is our doctrine. If any man come with any other doctrine other than we preach unto you, let him be accursed. If an angel comes to you and preaches any other doctrine than we preach, let that angel be accursed. And his doctrine was every place in the Bible they baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of their sins. Period. Let's don't confuse it. That is the doctrine of baptism. Now, that we understand that, could we go on, please? Then the doctrine of laying on of hands. Well, you say, oh, that was Paul and Silas and that was John and Peter. No. Old Testament. This is an Old Testament concept, and I'll show you where it comes from. Leviticus 16 and 21. And Aaron shall lay both his hands on the head of the live goat and confess over him all the iniquities of the children of Israel and all their transgressions in all their sins, putting them under the head of the goat, and shall send him away by the hand of a fit man into the wilderness. That, my friend, was the laying on of hands. It was the symbolic way of transferring their sins from them into a goat that they sent out into the wilderness to meet oblivion, if you will, to be eradicated, to remove their sins from them. Leviticus 24 and 14. See, this was unto dead works. This laying on hands, Brother Petrie, was unto dead works. It was the removal of sin. Bring forth him that hath cursed without the camp, and let all that heard him lay their hands upon his head, and let all the congregation stone him. Again, this was an operation unto dead works. And of course, we get into the New Testament, and we find a different concept. They're still laying hands on goats. It's a little bit different. Acts 8 and 17. Then laid they their hands on them and they received. Oh, we got it going a different way now. But it's still about dead works. It's getting rid of the deadness in your life that they receive the living thing, right? They receive the Holy Ghost, something that's alive. And they laid hands on them and they received the Holy Ghost. And when Simon, that sorcerer, saw them laying of the apostles' hands, the Holy Ghost was given, he offered them money. Hey, I want that power. Because you know why? They weren't just laying hands on them and someone saying, I accept the Lord. Yeah, he's my personal savior now and I accept it. No, sir. If that's all Simon the sorcerer saw, he wouldn't have been offering no money for it. But he saw something that put a spell on people more than his spell. It's called the God spell or the gospel. That's what gospel means, God spell. And so he saw them speaking in tongues and talking like out of their head. And he said, man, I want that power. Ooh, that's more than I got. I'll give you some money for it. And they rebuked him and told him to repent. So the laying on of hands, I want you to show you, is an old doctrinal thing. You with me? And then the doctrine of the resurrection, it says. Number 5. The doctrine of the resurrection goes back to the oldest book recorded in the Bible. Moses wrote the first 5 books. And of course, Genesis is the beginning. But according to theologians, I'm not one, they say the book of Job is actually written before Moses wrote the first 5 books. That's what they say. Job wondered about the resurrection. Job looked at a stump one day, a cut-off tree, and he saw some little tender branches come. He said, check that out. Shall a man live when he is cut down? Shall he live again? He said, all my expected days shall I wait until my change comes. You see, this thing about the resurrection, this is not no New Testament thing. This is goes forever. Shall a man live again? And so when we get to the New Testament, you see the Sadducees did not believe in the resurrection. The Pharisees did believe in the resurrection. And Paul said, well, Jesus said, I am the resurrection. All these resurrection things going on. And he said, he that believeth on me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And he that liveth and believeth on me shall never die. He was the resurrection. Wow. Amen. So this resurrection thing, can we get past that? See, if you really want to live for God, you got to get past all these things that you just want to argue about. You know, Jesus talked to one group of people. He said, pardon me, asking me about what? You have omitted the weightier matters. You're asking me about giving tithe of anise and of 3 different spices, because you could take a little bit. Let me tell you, Sister Valentine, why they said that. Because you could take a little bit and it smelled up the whole room. Just a little bit. And he said, you're big on that. But you have omitted the weightier things such as mercy, judgment, and grace. Much more important than what you're after. And so can we get past these little bitty things and really get down to living for God? What somebody said about me and what somebody... Number 6, the doctrine of eternal judgment. Anybody wondered if Adam and Eve was ever saved? Huh? You wondered if they were saved? Anybody else saved? Just Noah? That was it? I mean, all the rest of them drowned, but were they saved? Anybody else saved? I mean, I don't know. Was Peter saved? You know, he still was prejudiced. You know, all the way to the end, he was still prejudiced. You know? And you start wondering who's... Peter said, when he saw him talk to this rich young ruler, he said, sell all you have and give to the poor. And Peter said, we've done that. Who then shall be saved? We start wondering, because we don't know. I've never talked to anybody, and no one really has, and the Bible declares that, ever went and come back. Now, these after-death spirits, you can talk about them all you want to. But the Bible says there's no one descended but the one that ascended. Nobody. So Paul got up pretty high one time. I don't know what he's high on, but he was high. He went into the third heaven and said, I saw some, I came from heaven. John saw some things, said, oh, close the book, don't show. Got close, but they were still alive. And so, eternal judgment. You know, what do you think about eternal judgment? You think God would send me to hell if I wear that? You think God sends you just because I said that little word? And we start weighing out eternal judgment on all that. We're always talking about eternal judgment. Are you trying to tell me that my mother didn't make it to heaven after all she did it for the Red Cross? See, can we get past that? You want to live for God? You got to get past this. You got to get past this. Eternal judgment. Who's saved? Who's not saved? Because Jesus came with this great doctrine. Sheep and goats. Line them up. Sheep and goats. Black and white. Right or left. I'll make the call. You shut up. You shut up. You shut up. You don't have no room to talk back there. Because what you're telling about them, you're guilty of yourself. Let he that has no sin, you cast the first stone. And he shuts everybody up. He said, let me be the judge. Let me be the eternal judge. Judge yourself. Let the word of God judge you. Zip that thing up. People do not realize that when they judge other people, they have just judged themselves. So let's get past these six things. See, this writer says here, these are six principal things. And you know what? They're precept things. They're all Old Testament principal things that we come into the New Testament. And guess what? Christ fulfilled all of them. All of them. So why can't we go on now? Let him worry about all these things. I repented of my sins. I put them under the blood. Let's go on. You don't want to drag it up about me, what I did back when I was 14. You drag it up. But as for me, I'm 57. I'm going on. And 15 too. I'll close with this because this is where it really ends. Because the apostle, whichever one, I think Paul wrote Hebrews, but this guy put it on the line. He said, and he goes back really to the writings of Isaiah, of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, to be spoken, seeing that ye are dull of hearing. Hearing. For when the time ye ought to be teachers, we have need of one teach you again and again and again, which be the first principles, now watch, of the oracles of God. What are oracles? Spoken things of God, not written on tablets. It's not having to say, prove it to me, Pastor. Prove it to me. Prove it to me. Your heart ought to tell you, because God's talking to you too, that it's not right or it is right. The oracles of God, the first principles of the oracles of God, and become such as have need of milk and not strong meat. Anybody ever ate some strong? I'm telling you, mallard duck is strong. Chicken's a whole lot better than mallard duck. I like shooting mallards better than I do chickens, but those chickens are no challenge. But he said, you have need of milk. He said, I come here and I want to preach some really good stuff to you, but I can't because you still got the pacifier in. You're still not winged yet. You're not ready to receive. And that's frustrating. I'm glad y'all are where you are. I really am. I'm telling you, I'd rather preach to you tonight, I promise you, than I had any camp meeting across the globe. I mean that from the bottom of my heart. Amen. Because some of you have been with me long enough, I can preach like this to you and you receive it with gladness. And so he said, I got a lot of things to tell you that the Lord's told me, but there's no need for me to tell you because this meat's too tough. You'll choke on it. Now Ariel's still drinking milk. Move up to formula, and then we'll move up to baby food. But Lord, if she's not eating steak sooner or later, something's wrong. Something's wrong. Strong meat. Ought to be able to eat the toughest thing out there. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of what? Righteousness. Righteousness. For he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those whom by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. I won't do that again. My senses were exercised when I'll never forget, I climbed, I don't know if I ever told my mama this, close your ears, Mom. Close your ears. I was notorious for getting on the cabinet. You know, walking around and pulling the pantry. One time I got on the cabinet and I stepped on the stove and she had gotten through cooking. I had them little rings go on the bottom of my feet like that. Them little black rings, you know, circles. You know, like a steak, you put on and you take it out. That's the way it looked. You never heard that before? Well, I told you to close your ears. You wasn't supposed to hear it this time either. But you didn't have to tell me. Next time, I kind of felt that was warm. For I still got up there, but I made sure it was off. But my senses were exercised, so I'm like, okay, I don't need to do that. And so we need to go, whatever you've got to do, I tell some people that are on the edge of the world, go out there and get sick of it and then call me when you get through. Go out there till you can't take no more of it and then call me when you get through. Go get your belly full of the world and then call me when you get through. If you just got to do it and sow your wild oats, go sow your wild oats and call me when you get your harvest. Because some reason we are kind of people, we got to do it or we don't believe it. Now, so he says, who's all this belong to? Them that are of full age. So this is where, again, he's quoting the prophet Isaiah, and I close with this. Whom shall he teach knowledge? And whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from the milk and are that's enough of that. That's enough of that. No, we dry that up. It's enough of that. Drawn from the breast. And so being perfected in Christ is a lifelong journey. And so you can't look at your brother or your sister and say, you just need to, where were you when you were 3 years in the church or 4 years in the church or 3 months in the church? Now that you're so perfected, you can tell them, where were you? You see? And we need to get out of that and realize this is a journey. And I close with this. I have 3 or 4 closings. Proverbs 4:7. Wisdom is the principal. That's a principle. P-R-I-N-C-I-P-A-L thing. It's the main thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all thy getting, got to get a house. I got to get married. I want to have children. I want to get a better car. All you're getting, get understanding. Get understanding. And really, my goal for being your pastor is to help you understand this. That's as far as I can take it. I can't take it any further than helping you understand it. And once you understand it, you have to live it. But I've got to preach it where you can understand it. And that's what I ask God to help me to do. Are you ready? Praise the Lord. Good. Hallelujah. Thank the Lord. Praise the Lord. Well, as you see, they're working on the lights. You got some going up there, and maybe in the next day or two they will finish, maybe by Sunday. It'll be, the lights on the platform will probably, that you see now, will probably stay in terms of hanging, but they will not be turned on as we endeavor to enhance the church once again a little bit further. Amen. God bless you. You stand. I'm going to dismiss you and let you go. Lord, we're thankful today for your mercy. We're thankful for your truth. And truly, God, it is you that opens up our understanding. As you told the disciples, you opened up their understanding. Lord, take the veil away from people's eyes that we minister to, that they may understand the word of God. And once they understand it, God, they'll get it in their hearts and live for you. And they'll have a great life in this life.